more importantly, you'll prove it to those around you that God's way is best. You know, God says in Romans 13, 8, we're to owe no man anything. God says if you want to be, that he wants us to be prosperous, advancing. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel. The garbage, the devil always prostitutes God's stuff. He always takes God's stuff and he makes a mockery of it. I personally have met somebody here recently that has kind of come and go from our church, but doesn't come very often. But they've been swindled by some knucklehead on the internet calling himself a reverend. Then they prostitute it with the prosperity gospel. Give and God will just dump all over you money. Well, that's not what he says. He wants us to be prosperous and successful, but he's the one who defines what those things are. God says he will prosper us, but we must be willing to follow his rules. Take your Bible, stay at Psalm 1 and look at it again with me. Psalm chapter 1. You're just in Joshua. Go back to Psalm 1. That word blessed, the first word says blessed. I want to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? Well, look what it says. Blessed, that means happy, prosperous in your worldly affairs, enjoying a spiritual provision from God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, what does it say about this blessed guy? Well, look at that. It says here in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Look at that last phrase. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. That a blessed man prospers. Well, if I want to prosper, then I've got to figure out how to be a blessed man. Or a man that God can bless. Do you understand? We've got to be a person God can bless. To be a blessed man, I've got to learn what the blessed man does or what the blessed man does not do. So look at verse 1. Here's what the blessed man doesn't do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So where do you get counsel? Where do you get advice from? In legal matters. You know, I'm no lawyer, but I know the advocate. Right? I know the great advocate. Maybe you ought to ask your pastor or your deacon something before you run off to a lawyer. We might just tell you, well, you need to go to a lawyer. But maybe you ought to ask somebody who knows the advocate. Medical issues. I'm no physician, please. And I'm not looking to get into your medical business, but have you ever thought about having me and the deacon lay hands on you and pray before you just run off and figure out, you know what I'm saying? You got a spot on that x-ray, you got a headache that won't go away. How about you ask the preacher who knows the great physician and the deacon to lay hands on you and pray? You know, there's God's way. I'm not saying medicine is not for us. Trust me, doctors are ministers for our good. They are. But you know, we forget sometimes that God kind of stands waiting to bless us. But we run off to ungodly counsel all the time, and it makes it hard for him to bless us. Now, if you go to the hospital and you don't tell me, don't you get mad that I didn't come see you. Most folks in the last 7.5 years, I usually find out later that y'all went to the hospital or after y'all on their way home. Please tell me. Besides, what can it hurt? You know, both the doctor and lawyer, it always says on their business card, it's a practice. They actually don't. Have you ever read the fine print you sign? When you sign on that dotted line, it says, in layman's terms, hillbilly terms, like guys from Illinois, it says, this may not work. It might make you worse. And if it doesn't work, we'll try something else that may not work, and you might die. That's what it says in layman's terms. But we're like, oh, sure, here you go. You know, my batting average is better than theirs. The blessed man, look at the next phrase. The blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You need to talk to somebody who knows the Lord. The multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. You want to be blessed? Don't just run off. Find out. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. That means there's some places you and I can't go. Hello. There's some places. If I want to be blessed, I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. It's also talking about our testimony. To look at it from this point of view. To be a blessed man, I can't stand in the way of a sinner coming to Christ. You want to be blessed? I'm talking about your testimony. I mean, when you got a problem, do you go find the old grouch in the church to ask? When you got a problem, do you go find the bitter pill, whoever, you know what I'm saying, and to get them to help you? And when you got problems with money, do you talk to the guy who's in debt and socially drinks and can't seem to run his money? Is that who you talk to? Maybe the reason we're not getting our prayers answered or have spiritual powers because our attitude and our testimony is such that we're standing in the way of other sinners getting to the gospel. See, we hear all this hype about our liberty in Christ. But when our liberty in Christ stops people from coming to the gospel, you are standing in the way of sin. Well, preacher, I don't know if I agree with that. You know, hell's still real in 2020? Do you realize that everybody who dies without Jesus Christ still goes to hell, even though they're enlightened and understand technology? They still go to hell. And if your lifestyle and liberty in Christ is standing in the way of sinners, you're not going to be blessed. You're just not. You know, if you got a problem with the relationships at work and the relationships at home and the relationships at church and the relationship, there's a common denominator. Seeing how we don't all work with you or live with you or live in your community. I'm just telling you, you want to be blessed? A blessed man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed man don't stand in the way of sinners. And the blessed man or woman does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now that word scornful means to make mouths at. I know that sounds stupid, but it means to mock. It means to mock. Hey, want you to clean your room? And you're like, yes, ma'am. Clean your room. Gee, mom, get a grip. That's making mouths at. That's being scornful. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Boss comes in and says, that's not right. That's not how I want it. I want you to do it this way. And then your boss walks out and you and your buddy start making mouths about the boss. You know, as long as he signs my paycheck, it didn't matter what he told me to do. It all pays the same. You know why Sam is so successful at the Dollar Tree? Because he doesn't care. If they want it there, fine. If they change their mind, he moves over there. It all pays the same to him. He don't care. You got to unload the truck. You want to back up? I don't care. It all pays the same. And as long as the boss is signing the paycheck, it don't matter. But you're not to sit in the seat of the scornful because you're standing in the way of sinners coming to Christ and you are unblessable. My brothers and sisters, we are living below the level of mediocrity spiritually that God intended. There's so much more. God appointed that person in leadership and we're mocking God. God says he can't bless us. If we do these things, if we're living this way, if we're projecting that attitude, we're never going to be blessed. We're never going to be advanced. We're never going to be profitable, successful, or prosperous. Number two, here's what the blessed man, number one, here's what the blessed man can't do to be blessed. Here's what he does to get blessed. Look at verse number two. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you find joy in the Bible? Do you find joy in time with God? You want to be blessed? This is what the blessed person does. They spend time and they find their delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Are you faithful to read his word? Are you meditating on his word? Why do that? Because Joshua 1:8 says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So you can obey it. You want to be blessed? Are you blessable? Then you need to meditate on God's word so you can obey it. Look what it says here, the results are. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Planted, you're grounded, you're rooted, unmovable. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. This is what a blessable person's life is like. They're bearing fruit. Physical fruit, spiritual fruit. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever, look at that. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. Now Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Did God say that we could have success? Is it true? Is that what he told Joshua? Yes or no? From God's point of view, can we be successful from his measurement? Man, you guys are quiet tonight. I mean, y'all ready to go to heaven and stand in front of God and be measured? Y'all ready? I mean, I'm ready. I'm not fearing death, please. And I'm not asking to take a load up now. But if we were all to take a load up now, are we content? Are we ready to be measured by God's measurement? Have you borne all the fruit you want to bear? You want to receive? Have you received all the blessings God intended for you? Are you ready? Do you believe that He's ready to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? God said we can experience success, His success. Now, I'm not talking about living at Trump Tower and driving a Bentley. I'm talking about God's success, what He says is prosperous. I want everything God has for me. How about you? Is that sinful for me to say that? No, God said it's yours if you'll do this. Okay, all right. Is that sinful? No, God says it's here, it's yours. So how are you experiencing it? How's that going for you? Could you use a little more blessing? Then you probably have broken one of these rules. Either that or God's lying. Because God says we can have success. God says we can be prosperous in His sight. You know, the truth is you can ask God and He'll tell you, or you probably already know. Because if you're like me, you have a tendency to break both rules simultaneously all day. The average person can't do what's written therein because they don't know what's written therein. That's number one. And that's why the internet becomes really problematic. Because there's pastors and preachers out there that are just a little bit off. And they use our words with the devil's dictionary. And that's when life gets to be a problem, because you don't know what's written in there. You don't know if what you're listening to is straight or not. And that's why your daily devotional time is so important. That's why you need to be in the Word of God every single day. Why? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. He thinks about it. He applies it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For in then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. That's why you need to have a daily time in the Word. Number two, that's why you've got to be in church every time the doors are open, so you'll know what's written therein. I realize church is a safe place. I mean, I'm not going to let heresy or false doctrine or uncleanness, but I don't go to work with you all day. I don't live at your house. That's why you've got to have a daily time in the Word. Question is, do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be that prospering, successful person from God's measurement? Not the world's, but from God's measurement. Proverbs 2 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it." Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust Him? The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Psalm 84, 12, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." Do you trust Him? Do you believe that He knows what's best? Do you believe He wants what's best for you? Do you love Him? Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 8. Do you love Him? Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse 17. Look what it says. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Here's a promise to keep. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." That's a promise you can keep. Verse 18, "Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness." This is the truth I need to acknowledge. He has it. He's offering it. It's mine if I'll do it. Do I love Him? Durable riches is talking about lasting without perishing or wearing out. Durable riches and durable righteousness. Look at verse number 19. He's not just talking about money. "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." God's blessings and favor are far more priceless than anything on the exchange rate you can find. See, I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about God's blessing and prosperity, and it's not about cash in your wallet. You know, money's a tool. That's all it is. It's like air. You can go a while without some, but sooner or later you better get some. But the truth is, it's not got any value. It's just a tool. Verse 20. Here's something that God leads me. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment. Holy living and separation from this world. God says, you're doing that because you love me. Look at verse 21. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Can God fill your treasure box? Yes or no? He can. What's the state of your treasure box? Is there still room in it? Then ask yourself, am I following God's rules? Psalm 24:4 says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me. Do you love him? Do you keep his commandments? That's what Jesus said in John 14:15 and John 15:10. In 1 John 5:2, it says, but this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Do you know what that means? That means when you, God's ask, whatever God is asking you to do is not something that will be a grief to you. You know what grief is? It means a heaviness of your heart. Trust me, if you'll do what he tells you to do, it won't be a grief to you. What did he tell Peter? Go to John 21. John 21. He said, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than these? Look at John 21 and verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Look at verse 16. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Do you love him? Are you feeding his sheep, brothers and sisters? Do you teach Sunday school? Do you teach Awana? Do you teach junior church? Do you teach nursery? Do you do discipleship with other people? Do you teach? Are you feeding the word of God to people? You want to be blessed? You got to love him. You want to be blessed? You can't do the things that the scorner or the ungodly counsel. You can't do those things. But you got to walk in the word. Number two, you've got to love him. Number three, you've got to feed his sheep. Are you, or maybe are you doing whatever it takes to enable other people to feed his sheep? Both of which shows you that you love Jesus. I mean, visitors come, and if the place looks dirty, they're not going to come back and get fed. If the fellowship hall is dirty, they're not going to come back and get fed. If the Sunday school rooms are dirty, they won't come back and get fed. If there's garbage on the floor or in the pew, they're not going to come back and get fed. If the offering envelopes have been used for notes and shoved back in the pew, they're not going to come back and get fed. You only get one chance at this. This is your church. Anything that distracts from sheep being fed is a win for Satan. So what can you do to keep sheep from being distracted? Well, you can park in the back. Leave our visitor spots open for visitors. That'd be a blessing. Some folks are doing that, not doing that on Sunday morning. They're parking in the visitor spots. You can sit down front and leave the back pews open for visitors and for new moms who want to be close to the nursery because they've still got that separation thing going on. You could stay in the service and water and fodder between services and not distract from the preaching. You could, during the invitation, not run out the back door but come forward and pray and not be a bookend. I mean, if it's out, you ought to put it away. If it's in, you ought to bring it out. If it's full, you ought to empty it. If it's empty, you ought to fill it. If it smells, you ought to spritz it. If it's dirty, you need to clean it. And if it's clean, then you need to polish it. All of this helps feed the sheep. It just does. If I'm going to have the blessings of God on my life, there's some rules I got to follow. One of them is I got to love him. And one of the ways I show him I love him is by putting him in a position where he can bless me and fill my treasure box because I'm feeding his sheep or assisting that it gets done. If you've been here at church about a year, you need a class. It's time to start serving. It's time for you to start finding a way for sheep to get fed. It's time for you to get off your blessed assurance and proclaim Jesus is mine and start feeding sheep. You might say, well, I don't know anything about the Bible. Do you know the dumbest adult on the planet is still smarter than the average teenager? Now you're listening. Now I got your attention. Huh? Is that right? No, I love you guys. But the truth is, you know something. Are you feeding his sheep? You need to be doing something for God. You need to be serving in some capacity. There are needs all over this church. You need to feed my sheep. That's what Jesus said. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to have your treasure box full? See, we're either spending our life on today or we're investing it in eternity. But when we get to eternity, we're going to wish we invested today for eternity. And the other thing is there's no uh-ohs with God. God never goes, uh-oh. There are no mistakes. None of you in this room is a mistake. Not a single one of you. And every one of us is responsible to do something for God. That's what Ephesians 2:10 tells us. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has before ordained that we should walk in them. And the thing is, we forget that we are breathing God's air. We are consuming his resources. We are walking on his planet. We reside in his kingdom. We are alive because his life is living through us. And you have a place in heaven waiting for you. And how is it that we think there are just no requirements now that we're saved? There's just no requirements on us now. You know, I'm going to brag on somebody who ain't here. You know, Miss Deanna doesn't have a single working kidney. But she gets here at 8:30 to get preaching because she wants to be fed. She sits in Sunday school. She teaches in junior church. She goes home, gets a quick bite, comes back for Awana, and gets the privilege of doing dialysis 3 times a week so she can be here and serve. What is your excuse? What is your excuse? Because what you're doing is you're missing the blessings of God. You're not being blessed. You're not prosperous. You're not getting your prayers answered. You're not getting the marriage you should have. You're not having the relationship with your kids you should have. You're missing it. And the thing is, you don't know what you're missing because the people in your life never had it either. So you think to yourself, oh, my soul, what are you talking about, preacher? Things are great. Compared to what? You can always find somebody else who's in a mess. Do you realize there's probably 6 billion people in this world or more that would trade with you and consider themselves rich beyond belief if they lived like you did? But since we're consuming God's air, don't you think that maybe we ought to be doing something for God? There's never been a time when God leaned over to the precipice of heaven and nudged Jesus and went, hey, who's that? How'd they get in here? Who are they? Never been a time. God knows who you are. Did you know you're a one of a kind? Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 10. I want you to see this. This is so cool. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that states that God has a job before you were ever saved, before he created the world, he knew you and he said, I got a job for you and it's a job I want you to do. You're a one of a kind. You have a one of a kind purpose. You have a one of a kind thing only you can do. And we thwart God's plan by not serving. Do you know there's something you can do that I can't do? How is it that, like, I'm more worthy to serve than you are? And how is it that it's not just as great a privilege for you as it is me? I think it's all time we rethought our existence. It is required of a steward that they be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. And you know, if you're not serving, then somebody else is having to serve to make up the slack. And they're not able to do what God actually intended for them to do to their fullest because they're having to cover an area that was meant for you. You're not only part of the work. You understand? You are it. We got to rethink our existence. See, in 3 John verse 2, the Bible talks about it's God's desire that we prosper. In 3 John chapter 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That word prosper means to be have a successful journey through life. That's what it means in the Greek. When I speak about prosperity, I'm not talking about financial riches. I'm talking about blessed, happy, full, mature, prospering, investing in eternity. I was shocked to find out last month that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints puts $0 toward the missions here in Virginia. That all these college-age boys and girls that go door-to-door and ride their little bicycles, the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't have to pay a dime for that. The kid and their family put up $9,000, and it averages out because there's some places they could go where it's really, really cheap and, you know, a couple of thousand will take care of the kid for the whole year, but there's some places that are more expensive, so it averages out. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doesn't have to pay to have missionaries because its own people have caught the vision. Are you willing to do for the truth what they're willing to do for a lie? Because they lie. They don't believe Jesus is God, eternal God. They believe he's a fabrication who became God. And you can become God too in there. Are we willing to do for the truth what they're willing to do for a lie? And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." That word contentment is a state of mind in which one's desires are confined to his lot, whatever it may be. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." That means realizing that God has provided for my every need, not necessarily my every greed. It's not about the cash you got laying around. The truth is you're truly rich. Truly rich. When you realize that you have all you need. Being rich is defined by having all I want. And if that's the definition, I can be rich today. There's a lot of folks out there that will never be rich who have a ton more money than you do. And it's because they never get all they want. Rockefeller said, "How much money will be enough?" He said, "One more dollar." If being rich is defined by having all I want, then I can be rich today. You want to have the most wonderful marriage in the world? Then you need to go home and want the wife you have. Do you understand? You're rich. There are people who'd trade places with you right now. Man, you need to tell your wife on Valentine's Day that you don't want anybody else. I want you. And that means you're rich. Sisters, you need to tell your husband, you know, when you married him, he was a hunk. Now he's a pile, but he's your pile. And you want him. Do you want to be rich? You need to go out there and look at your car that you're driving and say, I want this one. And I'm going to drive it till it falls apart. You need to look at that house you're buying and go, I want this one. I have the house I want. You need to look at this church and say, I want this one. This is the one I want. And I'm rich. The Bible says in 1 Kings 2:3, "Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." Another word for prosper is circumspect. It means to be cautious, prudent, watchful on all sides, examining carefully. The New Testament says we are to be good stewards. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. Proverbs 30 and verse 8. The Bible says in verse 8, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain. You know, contentment is a balance between rich and poor, but it's an attitude that we have. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, let me read a verse of Scripture to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, listen to what the Bible says. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ." It says we're to be rich in good works. Verse 17 through 19. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." You know, true prosperity is living within our means so God can use us, not being in the bondage of debt, and honoring God with all that we have. Do you know what it means to honor God with what you have? It means to love Him more than what you have. That the things that you have are really from Him. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be in a position where God can bless you? Because He's not just going to pour it out on you. Why? Because He's not asking, you know, give an offering and God will give it back to you tenfold. That's garbage. God says, you obey me, you have faith in me, you love me, you feed my sheep, you do as I commanded you. Be in a position where I can bless you. And He's not just talking about finances. He's talking about true spiritual riches, which are more important than finances. Look at Proverbs 3 and verse 9. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine." What's that talking about? That's talking about honoring God with your tithe. Honoring God with your tithe. Do you understand what a tithe is? It's a percentage of your increase. You need to let that word sink in. Because there's a lot of foolish talk floating around about what tithing is and what tithing isn't. But it's on your increase. Go to Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. You're not in a blessable position if you're not honoring God and worshiping God with your tithes and offerings. Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I'd be derelict in my duties. You know, we're doing great financially, but it isn't about the church's finances. It's about, is God God? Is God God? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Look at Malachi 3 and verse 8. "Will a man rob God?" What? "Will a man rob God? You stealing from God, yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" What are you talking about, God? What do you mean I'm robbing you? "In tithes and offerings." We're stealing from God when we don't tithe and give offerings. That's what it says. He said tithes and offerings. "You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Go on and test me if I won't bless you. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. Saith the Lord of hosts, and all the nations shall call you blessed. That means the people around you will go, wow, you are a blessed person. Ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me ask you, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Well, sure I do. Do you really trust God? My preacher used to say, God don't got your heart until he's got your wallet. That's what my preacher used to say. My preacher used to say, you want to kill a deer, you shoot him in the heart. You want to kill a dog, you shoot him in the head. You want to kill a Baptist, you shoot him in a wallet. And they'll kill right over. There was a Baptist preacher on a plane, and the plane was about to crash, and the pilot called over the radio and said, do something spiritual. He got up and took an offering. I was thinking of Johnny when I read that. I'm like, holy cow. There was a shipwreck, and these two guys got away from the ship. They're surrounded by sharks, and they're swimming for their life. They see this little spit of land with one old little puny tree, and they swim for their lives, and they crawl up onto the beach, and the ship goes down. They see it go down. They're the only survivors, and the one guy goes, woo, praise God, praise God. And the other man says, what are you praising God for? We're shipwrecked. He said, no, praise God, we're going to get rescued. And he goes, how do you know that? He goes, look, buddy, I make $150,000 a year. Well, what good is that? There ain't a Kmart here. He says, no, you understand. I make $150,000 a year and I tithe. My preacher will find me. You know, we may joke about tithing and people, you know, preacher always talking about money. But the truth is, it's tithes and offerings. That means the offering is just as important as the tithe, and God put as much emphasis on the two. So if you're tithing, that's great, but then you're only half obedient. There's supposed to be an offering on top of the tithe. Biblically speaking, our hearts can be wrong about money, and you don't got to be rich to be wrong about money. The greediest people I know are poor, not rich. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Jesus said, keep my commandments. Well, I don't think God is really interested in my money. Really, there are 700 direct references to the handling of money in the Bible. 2/3 of the parables deal with money. 1 out of every 6 verses in the Gospels all deal with material possessions and how you handle it. There are 30,000 verses in the Bible, 6,000 plus deal with material things. Luke said in Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's the god of possessions, who will commit to you the true riches? Are you blessable? Are you blessable? God is not going to reward bad behavior. He's just not. He's not going to do it. So the question I have for you is, are you walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Are you standing in the way of sinners coming to God? Are you scorning the truth of God's word? Are you meditating on his word? Are you teaching others, feeding his sheep? Are you helping others be able to feed God's sheep? Are you blessable? These are the things God has called upon us to do. To trust him, to love him, to obey him, to honor him. They're not hard. They provide no grief when you do it. But it sure makes us unblessable when we don't. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you keeping the commandments? Are you content? Are you having the life God promised you to have? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you having the life God said was abundant? Does it somehow feel hollow and empty? The definition of insanity is always doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. How about we do it God's way? Our Father and our God, we love you. And Father, tonight, your word is true, and it stands forever. And Father, tonight, you've offered us, you've opened a door for us to be a delight for you, someone that can receive your blessing and be a testimony to those around us. But Father, our hearts have to be right first. If there's one among us tonight, if they died, they're not sure heaven's their home. Father, they think working their way there, doing things is going to save them. Being a member of a church or just being a good person is going to save them. Father, help them to see they need Jesus as their Savior. They need to repent of their sin of self-righteousness. Father, if there's one among us tonight that the words of your Bible have touched a nerve, I pray, Father, please, that you'd let it resonate, that they'd know it was you speaking. And Father, they'd know that it's true because you said it. And Father, for those that are obeying, I pray, Father, you'd pour out your richest blessings upon them, that they would be that delight, that they would be that testimony of your grace and goodness for all to see, for all to come and say, you've got something I don't have. And God, that the gospel could be shared and people could be saved. And Father, I ask that as we go from this place tonight, you would give us wisdom and discernment on how to engage those we work with the gospel. That we wouldn't be without fear, but with love, just unconditional love and patience as we share our faith with others. May your Spirit go before us and prepare hearts. And as only you can, God, bless the feeble efforts of us. For, Father, without you, it is impossible to do anything. And we're thankful for the promises that we enjoy in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. This Saturday.